This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, and he joins us on occasion to talk a little local politics, growth, and development. And we've got a whole slew of topics to discuss today with Brian. But before we get to that, what is this about pushing daisies?
Pushing daisies, Coy. You know, you were gone all last week. So I couldn't talk to you about
that. I saw a whale, did I tell you? I saw a whale.
A whale?
I saw a humpback whale off the coast of California. It was magical, yeah. It gave
That's
me chills.
Deep.
It was really, really amazing. But I interrupt.
I think I saw a whale once.
What, are you drinking?
Well, we saw a hump out in the distance.
I think that was a whale.
I was in Jamaica. But
did they have whales in the Caribbean?
Yeah.
They do?
Well, see, I think it was a whale. And now I did
Jamaica, what were you smoking?
I did go to British Columbia. In British Columbia, I also think I saw a whale. That was from the airplane, though. I was looking down on the ocean.
The one I saw was huge. They said it was a 90-foot male humpback. And it was blowing through its blowhole and everything and spewing water all over everybody.
That's cool.
You know what I never knew until that moment was that when they blow through their blowhole, it stinks. Which makes sense because it's, you know, it's like their nose. They're blowing their nose. And you smell all the rotten fish and stuff. It really smells.
I blow through my nose and it doesn't stink.
Well, there you go. You're not a whale. Last time I checked. So what is this Pushing Daisies? It's a TV show?
Well, so yeah, March 14th, that's one of the Pi Days we have to celebrate.
Oh, yeah, 3.14.
3.14.
Yeah,
and I missed it. 3.14, I was celebrating with a Pi at our house. And my daughter Abby introduced me to a new TV show that I'm not up on all the current TV shows.
Yeah.
I'm at meetings all the time. Right?
Yeah, right. You are indeed.
I'm either on the show or in a meeting is basically what I'm doing. And so when I do have some time, I try to sneak in a little bit of TV.
Yeah.
But usually not a series. Usually I just turn on the news. And anyway, my daughter introduced me to Pushing Daisies. This was on in 2007 to 2009. It's not on the air anymore, but you can get the DVDs.
Yeah. And that's what you're watching?
And I'm watching. I've gotten through three episodes. I'm hooked. It's like Twin Peaks, Coy.
Which I loved. Yeah.
You and I love Twin Peaks.
Yeah, that's great.
But it doesn't have that sinister edge to it. You know, there's not...
There's no who killed Laura Palmer or anything like that.
There are murders and deaths, but it's not that sinister edge like...
So it's a really good one you'd recommend?
Absolutely.
Now, do you watch Lost?
The main reason I recommend it, though, is because they talk about pie throughout every episode. It's about Ned the pie maker, and he runs a pie shop called the Pie Hole.
Wow.
And
a pie show.
So
who would have thought?
I'm sure that if we went back to the pie festival that we did in Crozet,
yeah.
I bet if we ask everyone in there, they all would say, of course, we've been watching Pushing Daisies. Brian and Coy, where
it's
have you been?
It's the pie show.
And I think we've missed out on
it. No, it's not a pie show, but do you watch Lost? Have you been watching that? Final season? It's going to be on tonight?
I'm going to do that one in the future.
Yeah. I will tell you. I watch it on iTunes because I don't have television or cable or satellite. So the TV I get is online or iTunes, and so I watch it a day later. So I'm excited tomorrow I'll get to watch it. Mm-hmm. Tonight that we're supposed to find out everything of the past of Richard Alpert, the guy, the man who never aged. It's going to be really good. You watch Flash Forward? That's a new TV show.
The only thing I'm watching right now is American Idol.
I've never seen that.
And we tend to save those shows because the kids have homework during the week. So Friday night, we watch three episodes, you know.
Oh, you stockpile them.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's a big family event at our house.
Speaking of a family event, lots of families came out in Albemarle County for that budget hearing to call for more money to go towards schools. And yet, it would appear that fell on somewhat deaf ears on the Board of Supervisors.
Well, the supervisors...
Am I characterizing that properly?
Well, did people come out? Yes, they did come out in a big way. I think the public hearing in front of the board was unprecedented. The state, however, did end up, in the end, provide more money than what the Albemarle County thought was going to be coming our way. Some of that money is one-time money. So it's remember the whole issue, Coy, about the composite index. That's the state funding formula. Governor Kane said, I'm not going to apply the new funding formula. We'll give you a year off. Governor McDonald came in and said, I am going to apply the formula. We should always apply the formula. And anyway, what came out of that was for Albemarle County, for the first year, they will not have to worry about the composite index. So that's about $5.2 million. that Albemarle County didn't think it was going to get and now will get. But it's one-time money, as we said. The next year will be a the funding challenge has really been punted to next year. That's the bottom line on that. Now, the Board of Supervisors...
So it was supposed to be down, the school budget in Albemarle County was supposed to be down like $8 million, is that right? But instead, it's down like a few hundred thousand dollars.
Now it's down a little over $450,000, I believe, is the deficit that the school board has to figure out. But the Board of Supervisors, they had four budget work sessions. We covered all those. You can get the audio and summaries of most of those on our website at SevilleTomorrow.org. But, Coy, what was funny...
.com.
It wasn't... .org.
Did you change it?
No, but you can go to .com, but on my business card, it's .org.
Okay, I got you.
I got all the bases covered on that one.
SevilleTomorrow.org.
While you were gone, though, heated discussions about the YMCA.
Oh, tell me. What happened?
On Monday, in the first work session last week, it was actually the third, but it was the first of last week, the YMCA came under scrutiny by Albemarle County. Now, this was something that they had committed to in years past. I think it was 2008. They committed to $2.03 million they were going to fund and give to the Piedmont YMCA to build their new facility in McIntyre Park in the city of Charlottesville. Actually, back then, what they told the Y was, we don't really care where you build this thing, whether it's at Piedmont in the county or in the city somewhere. We just want to help you build it because we think it's a good idea.
Yeah. Good thing to have in the community.
The county said, here's $2 million. Well, in these economic times, three members of the Board of Supervisors last Monday said, we think we need to revisit that. We're not sure that's where we should be putting our tax dollars. And they started getting into that discussion. And supervisors, it was brought up by new supervisor Rodney Thomas. And he said he would like to see that money uncommitted, if possible. And new supervisor Dwayne Snow said, you know, when it came to juggling the priorities of libraries and education, he was questioning why they'd put that much money into the YMCA, a private facility that will be open to the public. But it's a different entity than the government.
Yeah.
And
so they're just basically saying, is this the right time to be putting that kind of money into something like a new Y for the community?
Right.
Maybe we got other needs that are more pressing and more immediate.
And there certainly are taxpayers in the county who would say, amen, we this is not the right time to do that. I interviewed Clarabel Wheeler. She's not related to me. But we asked her what she thought about it. And she said, you know what? McIntyre Park, one, is not the right place to put it. And two, this is not the right time for Albemarle County to invest in that. And so that was one perspective. The other perspective was championed by Denny Blank, who's the executive director of the Y, and Kirk Kruger, who's the chair of the board. And they said when we interviewed them, you know what, in this era of budget woes between the city and the county, this is an example of city-county cooperation. City and county were both behind this. And Kirk Kruger also pointed out that, you know, the fiscal conservatives should actually look favorably upon this, because if you invest a couple million dollars from the county, you're getting access to a $15 million, you know, recreational facility. So a small amount of seed money with a big payback for the community.
In support of the Y, I will say that the communities, have you ever lived in a community that had a real nice Y? They're packed all the time. Their kids are always there. There's one in Stanton, as a matter of fact, that's really nice.
Well, my wife Jean grew up with one in Danville, and so that was her experience,
yeah,
that it was a very positive thing for their community.
Yeah.
And we've had a small YMCA facility, but nothing like this here in Charlottesville with a pool and those other gymnasium kind of facilities.
But this is supposed to be deluxe.
So anyway, that was the big discussion on Monday that caught everyone by surprise, including the YMCA people in the audience. And then County Attorney Larry Davis says, folks, we have a contract here, and I'd advise that if you really want to talk about this, we have a closed meeting.
Ooh.
So that sort of cut off
Monday. You love it when your lawyer says, wait, we've got to go have a closed meeting here.
So that cut off Monday's discussion right there.
So then they go behind doors.
On Wednesday, they start their next budget work session with a meeting to go into a closed, with a motion to go into a closed meeting. They came out of that closed meeting and said, upon further reflection, we will retain our commitment to the YMCA. And, you know, I think what they learned in their closed meeting, although nobody, I haven't talked to anybody about what was said there, I think what they learned was they didn't have any out in the contract. The contract promised the money, and there was no time frame and no mechanism to retract it.
Why would you get into a contract like that with public money?
You mean like the revenue sharing agreement?
Exactly.
Boy, that was too easy.
I set you up for that one. We're talking with Brian Wheeler at SevilleTomorrow.org is the website. But seriously, why would they? I wonder why Albemarle County was motivated to sign a contract like that to donate money to the Y that was a contract that you couldn't, under any circumstances, go and then take the money back. Or,
you know,
what if they wanted to add more money and say, hey, we want to give you more now? And then you can. They locked into that.
Well, they'd create a new contract. Anyway, that was the big issue on Monday. It became a non-issue on Wednesday. The county is sticking firm by their commitment to the YMCA. So we expect that to move forward.
When are they supposed to do that?
In McIntyre Park. They hope to break ground this summer.
Wow.
And finish within, I believe, 18 months after that.
So that's a done deal. So all the people saying save McIntyre Park,
well, the folks saying anywhere. Save McIntyre Park are talking about both sides of McIntyre Park,
yeah.
From my point of view. They're talking about the Meadow Creek Parkway Challenge on the eastern side. The YMCA facility is on the western side.
Yeah,
closer to the fire station.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fire station and the ball fields.
So that was the big non-issue. This all led up to, Coy, to more discussion on Wednesday when the supervisors, the big decision they had to make was what tax rate will be advertised. And that's important because once they set a rate, they cannot go higher than that rate.
You can go lower but not higher.
Can go lower but not higher.
That's without Virginia law.
Without re-advertising and starting the process all over again.
Right, right. So
they decided by a 4-2 vote to advertise the current rate, which is 74.2 cents. So as you know, most people will experience a tax cut because their property values have gone down. My property's gone down a lot, so I'm going to get a big tax cut. and so I don't know what that says about my investment, but anyway. So that was interesting on a couple of fronts, Coy. The supervisor's discussion was pretty intense. So
did they ever, after that public hearing, here's what I want to know. Did they ever, after the public hearing and the community came forward and said, you know, pretty loudly, we want you to support the schools, did they ever put more money into the schools after that public hearing? Or did they just public hearing? And
they did not, but they let the state do that.
So the state, so that's what they're thinking. Yeah, well, the state
most of the
has
funding
done.
Gap was made up by the state.
Okay.
So there's still about, you know, $450,000 or so remaining that the school board needs to tackle as far as that.
So the
deficit.
Budget that Bob Tucker came up with, did the supervisors make any cuts, any additional cuts to that? Or did they just pretty much accept that, you know, as it was?
They did not make a single cut to the county executive's budget, which is interesting in and of itself.
Yeah, it is.
You know, the
I would have thought they would, to be honest with you.
Well, you know, the I think that's reasonable to say because in January, the majority of the board that voted for the 74.2 cent rate is the three Republicans, Ken Boyd, Dwayne Snow, Rodney Thomas, plus Lindsay Dorier, the Democrat from Scottsville. So those four are the ones who voted for that tax rate, but they also are the ones who passed an action plan in January that said that's what they were going to do. In January, they said, we're going to do zero-based budgeting, and we're going to stick to a 74.2 cent tax rate. And that was a turn of events because the previous board had told Bob Tucker, plan on like 77-something cents.
Right, right.
Plan on an equalized rate, a rate that would keep everyone's taxes about the same.
Yeah.
It turns out that equalized rate right now is about 76.6 cents. So, again, we're at 74.2. But
so they're leaving the rate the same, let the property values come down, so everybody ends up paying less taxes, even though the rate is the same. You still pay less taxes, which means less money in the county budget.
But you ask about the cuts made to Mr. Tucker's budget. There weren't any. And actually, Ken Boyd, Supervisor Boyd, expressed some concern about picking winners and losers, is what he called it, as people were adding things back to the budget. For example, the library system. The libraries ended up getting level funded.
They really won on that one, didn't they? All they had to do was threaten to close Scottsville, and the county said, oh, no, wait a minute, here's your money.
They did. Some school board members are probably wondering why they didn't threaten to close some schools. But that's
maybe that'll
story.
Work. Maybe that would work, yeah.
So anyway, you know, Mr. Boyd was concerned about picking those winners and losers. And that's interesting because in the zero-based budgeting approach—
That's what you do.
That's exactly what they would have been doing as a board, is going line item by line item with a particular department and saying, tell us why you need X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
So anyway, The Jefferson Madison Regional Library, as I said, did get its funding back, and at the same time, Mr. Boyd suggested in two meetings that we covered that the county ought to consider just withdrawing from the regional library system entirely. That's a conversation the board's going to have in June at their strategic planning meeting.
How much money would that save the county?
Well, I don't know, and I don't know that any of them know, because that's something they'd have to look at.
Yeah.
But I think one of the things that they're seeing, this funding formula has raised some concerns in that they're seeing that they tried to make an independent decision to provide less money to the library, and then they were basically told by the library trustees that they couldn't do that. Because it would have impacted the other localities who were involved in the regional system.
And they didn't like that.
They didn't like that. So now they're going to investigate whether they should be in that regional system.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler, getting an update on the local budgets for the city and the county. We'll take a break for local news and weather. When we get back, let's turn our attention to the city and find out what's the latest on that. But before we go, the next public hearing for the county budget.
That'll be on March 31st at 6 o'clock p.m. in Lane Auditorium. And that's the public hearing on now the Board of Supervisors budget. And you can give all your feedback on the tax rate and the budget decisions.
Let's take a break for local news, get a weather update. It's 28 minutes after the hour of 5 o'clock here in Central Virginia. It's about 56 degrees. I'm Corey Barefoot. This is Charlottesville Right Now.
W-I-N-A, Charlottesville. Right now! Right now! Right now! Right now! Right now! Right now!
It's 37 minutes after 5 o'clock in Central Virginia. 57 degrees. My name is Coy Barefoot. This is Charlottesville Right Now. Hope you're having a good Tuesday, and I want to thank you so much for joining me. We're talking with Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at sevilletomorrow.org. Now, the Charlottesville budget, they're in much better shape, right?
Quite a contrast, Coy.
It is indeed.
And for a number of reasons, but mainly they've got significant tax revenues by comparison, you know, a per capita comparison.
Well, now what's their rate? If the county is 74.2 per $100,
the city is property value 95.
City's 95.
95 cents.
And is it true that the county's is
in effect it's much lower.
It's lower like statewide. It's pretty low compared to, you know, relatively if you can look apples to apples.
When you take into account that there's revenue sharing, so a dime gets handed off to the city of Charlottesville from the county. And then you take into account land use taxation, that program that allows rural property owners to be taxed less, not for their home, but for their farmland or forest or pasture or whatever.
Yeah. Well, most of it's forest.
So land use taxation and revenue sharing, Dennis Rooker says that gets the effective tax rate in the county down to about 53 cents. So at 53 cents, there's no other locality in Virginia with our population, you know, with our urban you know, needs that compares to that. I think that's a safe statement.
Yeah, interesting. And Charlottesville, because of that revenue sharing agreement, they have quite a cushion to factor into every budget. Right?
So their work sessions were more about, we're covering those as well, sevilletomorrow.org. You can get access to the summaries, the audio. They're talking about how to spend money. And spend money in ways that they're, you know, Gary O'Connell, the city manager, hadn't thought of yet. So whereas in the county, they're not touching Bob Tucker's budget. They're adding a couple things. They're restoring things, but they're not really adding big programs. In fact, in the county, there's not even any capital money to build anything for the next 5 years.
No sidewalks, no firehouses,
nothing.
No schools, no libraries.
Nothing in the county. In the city,
Sidewalks, firehouses,
bike
schools.
Lanes, firehouses, yep, that's one. They're going to build a firehouse on Fontaine Avenue.
Really?
Wow. Mayor Norris recommended an additional $400,000 for affordable housing initiatives. Now, what the city council is doing is they are funding their strategic priorities. These are things they have said they want to be all about.
Yeah.
And now they're putting their money where their mouth is. So they have been investing $1 million a year in the Charlottesville Housing Fund. That's for affordable housing initiatives. Mayor Norris recommended at this recent work session to increase that by another $400,000. So it'd be $1.4 million in the proposed budget.
That'll go into this fund, which does what?
Which funds things like the purchase of the single residence, what's it, SRO, single resident occupancy, that facility that's being built near downtown Charlottesville by another organization. But the city is weighing into that.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The city bought the property. City bought the property. A nonprofit is going to develop it for homeless housing, provide housing to the homeless,
okay.
And there will also be some rental units. But that's an example of one initiative that the city council has weighed in on to both buy land and help get something built.
Gotcha.
But you know they've got other funds that they're using to help. With affordable housing issues. They're also in the midst of redeveloping all of their public housing properties that get, you know, federal subsidies.
Yeah, I got you.
So they're in the middle of that as well. They've decided to dedicate about $50,000 to expanding bike lanes, and staff were giving them feedback that it might cost a lot more than that to put bike lanes on some of the roads that councilors were interested in. But again, a commitment to alternative forms of transportation. The city has said, you know, we want to do transit in a big way. We want to help bikes and pedestrians. Kristen Zekas, who was just elected to city council, one of the platforms she ran on was basically getting rid of as many cars as possible in the city of Charlottesville and encouraging people to take to walk and to take bikes as many places as possible. So, she, you know, she would be fulfilling her promise on that front.
Are they ever going to bring back that trolley that they got rid of in the 30s? We used to have a trolley system, you know, in this town.
You know, that's been studied.
This town was actually created around a trolley system.
Yep. You know, we talked a lot about
that. They ripped up the tracks in the 30s.
When we first formed Charlottesville Tomorrow in 2005, those first couple of years, we covered the trolley initiative in several meetings because it was – they had some great photo simulations of what it would look like on Water Street. And basically, that's not going anywhere because it's so expensive.
Yeah.
That's a huge expenditure per mile by comparison to some of these other things.
Yeah. That's too bad. It'd be
right,
cool.
Right now, Coy, we're just trying to figure out how to rename our buses.
That's right. The city wanted to rename the bus the Charlottesville Area Transit CAT.
They have done that. Now the question is, what will the logo look like?
So it's already been done. They already did it.
Yep. In our stories now, we refer to it as Charlottesville Area Transit.
So it's not Charlottesville Transit
System. It's no longer CTS. It's CAT.
CAT. How do you feel about that?
My job's just to report the findings of what I see at these meetings, Coy. But apparently Mayor Norris was concerned about the logo, so they're going to have a fresh discussion about what that logo looks like.
Interesting. So the city is in good financial shape, it sounds like.
I think they would say that. I mean, they're setting aside money in a reserve fund.
Wow. Does the county have a reserve fund?
Not anymore.
You got any kind of lockboxes? Has that long been broken open?
That's gone.
It's laying on the floor open.
But, you know, there's still plenty of opportunities for the public to weigh in on the city budget. The next opportunity, in fact, is tomorrow night, and there's a community budget forum. This is a little different than the public hearing, which they've had one of those already. But this would be a forum where you can actually sit down and talk to officials and have a more two-way conversation about your concerns. So that city budget forum is tomorrow night, 7 o'clock at City Space, which is in the Market Street parking garage right on the downtown mall.
There you go. What's this about the County Planning Commission and the wineries in Albemarle County?
Yeah, this is pretty interesting, Coy. They have long had some ordinances in place that regulate business activities out in the rural countryside. And one of the things that the growing, you know, winery business sector in Albemarle County has been saying is they need more flexibility. So, for example, right now, big events at a winery can't have more than 150 people. So if you've tried to schedule a wedding at, for example, King Family Vineyards, you might have been told, you know, you can't go past 150 people. And King Family Vineyards could only do that 12 times a year. There's a limit on the number of times and the number of people. So
why do you have those rules in the first place?
Well, that's what people are asking. And
I mean, that's like telling a restaurant, you can only serve this many people or you can only be open.
Well, the reason you would do that in the rural area is to limit primarily traffic. If you made it wide open for as many people as possible anytime you wanted to do it, then you've got in the rural area a whole lot of transportation challenges on roads that weren't meant for that.
All right. That's a fair point.
So that's the big reason.
Yeah.
You also have, if you have a lot of people there, you know what they do when they drink wine and they stay at a winery for a long period of time?
They think they see whales. Hey, there's a whale, Martha.
Well, I wasn't talking about that problem as much as the need for restrooms, Coy.
Oh, they got to pee.
And,
yeah. Well, they have facilities for that, don't they?
They do. But again, these would be septic facilities, right? So imagine having hundreds of people.
The septic system that's not built for that many people.
So that kind of intensity of use, whether it's transportation or water sewer needs, isn't really what Albemarle County had in mind for the rural countryside.
Yeah. Two good points.
But they are willing to negotiate. So the Albemarle County Planning Commission has recommended some changes. This will go to the Board of Supervisors. They've recommended raising that by right attendance figure to 200 people. And you could get permits for things that would exceed that amount. And there would no longer be a limit to the number of special events that could be held.
So this will be good for
the folks at the vineyards.
The folks at the vineyards
have responded very positively.
The local business owners who operate these vineyards and like to have events at their wineries. That's
also going to give them a green light to operate some kitchens for finger foods, appetizers, soups. That was a limitation they had as well.
You had to import all the
food. How big the kitchen could be. Yep.
Well, that sounds like a good thing.
And like I said, that'll go to the Board of Supervisors where they will also take additional public input on that.
There you go. Any other news we need to know about before you get off to this game?
I think that's it, Coy. I'm heading off to the lacrosse game. I have a meeting. It's a lacrosse meeting. But
And it is, for those who don't know, this is St. Anne's versus Western.
That's right.
Girls lacrosse
versus Western Albemarle.
That's going to be a big game. Let's take a quick break. We'll get a Market Watch update. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Coy.
You're listening to Charlottesville Right Now.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.